We are back, and now we're going to talk about accountability Bible studies.
Right. And as we go through this, we're going to go through some basic accountability questions. Mm-hmm. You can make your whole Bible study about this, so it's like an accountability group.
Right.
Or you can add accountability questions to your Bible study, regardless of what track you're following.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go through 20 questions. I wouldn't ask all 20 questions every time you meet.
Right.
You might pick one. You might cycle through some of these if you're doing.
And again, this is that concept of like a, sort of a life coach minister that you're keeping goals before people, and you're not telling them the goals they should do.
Exactly.
You're putting it on them to think about.
Yes.
All right.
So Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, spurring, I don't always like to get spurred, right?
No.
I mean, the analogy here is, you know, you're riding a horse, and to get the horse going, you have these little pointy things, you kick them in the side, and they go. And it's sort of a challenge, I guess. It's really challenging.
Well, the inertia is to just stay put.
Yeah.
Don't grow.
Right.
With God, even.
Right. So the mother eagle kicks the eagle out at some point. Like, you got to learn how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a little bit of spurring in our lives. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So the habit of a small group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because the default setting is to isolate.
Right.
Because, oh, we got the Bible study tonight. It's Friday, and I forgot about it, and now I was going to go with somebody.
Right.
And do, you know, so it's like always, we a lot of times we want to be free to do whatever. But when we're free to do whatever, our lives become a mess.
Right, we do nothing, or we're into trouble, or idleness is
so another workshop. So we need to meet together. And this is small groups, this is church services. Someone once told me this illustration. He said, okay, you have a fire, and then you take one of the embers and you move it a foot away from the fire, and what happens to the ember? Yeah, it goes out. So we need the connection to other people. So we need their challenge. Okay, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So both of those things, we need challenge, and we need encouragement. And the following questions that we're going to look at are some good questions that you can ask in a Bible study, or even if you just had an accountability group.
Right. So these are tools for you all to do well, in no matter what type of Bible study, or you can just do this alone like
this.
Yes,
exactly.
But we're saying it's kind of neat if you pick a Bible study method and then salt and pepper it with a little accountability.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look them over.
All right, so here we go. Number one, what are the greatest challenges you have been experiencing? What are the greatest joys?
Okay, do you remember when we did the Serendipity Bible?
Yes.
This reminds me of the great benefits that we had in the Serendipity Bible, where it had the Bible passage, but it had really all these, like, big accountability questions that weren't along with it.
Right.
Yep. Sort of that style.
So, what are the greatest challenges, Henry? What challenges are you facing right now?
Well, some of my biggest challenges right now are, personal, family. For CLI, is there going to be a free ministry training option for the world? And will it be supported by those who participate with it? And will it be sustainable beyond our generation into the next generation and Abby's generation and that next? I mean, to me, the big challenge of being our age is passing the baton onto the next generation. And that is I feel that and prayerfully
So you have this pretty grand challenge.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about it, and now the greatest joys are the incredible impact that
Well, we had a conference a couple of weeks ago, and testimony after testimony.
It was powerful. Powerful. Yeah.
Just how well people are doing. So it can be a grand thing. It might be a little thing, like, you know, one challenge that I have is doing this class.
Yeah.
You know, we came in here after someone had done some of it, and we got about halfway through the last presentation, and we realized it wasn't recording.
Yeah.
Because the thing wasn't attached. So little things that happen.
Right. Exactly. It's amazing.
All right. Number two. How has your walk with God been since we last met? Have you been experiencing the abundant life, experiencing His presence, drawing on His wisdom and strength? So now, this question is, because you can go to a Bible study. We mentioned this in the last session. You can go to a Bible study and learn about Galatians or whatever book you're studying and never have a walk with God.
And there's no authentic discussion. I mean, I've had it in early ministry where we've been doing Bible studies. And we would be doing all these Bible studies, Steve, and under our nose was someone who was absolutely far from God and struggling like ever. But when we talked about the topic, that person looked as if they were all together, but they were not all together.
Yeah. I remember when we first started out with the Serendipity Bible, we had a group meeting and we had a study, and this person's husband didn't come. And so we were trying to hold him, and where is he? Well, he was busy with this. And we started asking him, well, how's your Bible reading going in your personal life, in your marriage? And all of a sudden, she just burst into tears. My husband's back on cocaine. It's like, so.
Yeah. And that happened for a while. So she had been coming, and it looked like she was put together, but the truth was she wasn't until we faced some of these accountability questions.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Right. Number three, have you been spending consistent time with God on a regular basis in prayer and Bible reading? What have you gained in this time? How is God speaking to you? What are you reading and studying in addition to your quiet time that is deepening your relationship with God? So I'm reading a book on John Calvin right now.
Really?
Yeah. It's by Thea Van Halsema. Oh. This was John Calvin, and she goes into his personal life.
Mm.
And John Calvin is known for his institutes, his theology, very deep. And you know, but most people don't know the struggle that he had in his life and how faithful he was in his marriage and family and the city that wanted to put him under. And I mean, it was just, you know, reading about his personal life really, you know, helped me feel some of the things that he would say in his theology book. So that's what. So if someone asks me that question, it gives me a chance, this is what I'm doing. Now, other people are listening going, well, what am I reading? I'm not reading anything. I'm not doing anything. And then they might feel challenged.
Well, when you said that, I mean, I'm like dug in right now on the early church. That's my sort of my theological. But then I'm reading books. I mean, we just went through The Badness of Crowds, written by a gay atheist.
Yeah.
And it challenged us to really, in the whole time we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about what's being said and all of these things here, and that critical grace theory class came out of that whole journey. Yeah. Well, what's the Word of God say? How does that all work? I mean, in some ways, it's that question, how is God speaking to you? And when you have that accountability, in a sense, you and I and our wives now for years have had a small group going, and we ask these questions every week.
Right.
Right. So many of you would not want to be in our group because it's like,
but you know sometimes
we love it though. It's curious.
Sometimes it's challenging, right?
Right.
That, okay, you're going to challenge me. Am I walking with God? I didn't do it at all last week, and it feels kind of heavy because you're challenging me. But it's also encouraging because it gives you a chance to share some of the things that God is doing in your life. If God just did some incredible thing, but you have nowhere to go with it. Now all of a sudden a group is coming to you and saying, well, tell us all about it. And we want to hear what God is doing. So it's very encouraging to have a group of people that actually cares what you think.
One thing that happened last week, we were getting just spiritually attacked last week. Yeah. You stayed overnight. And, and we had this day where everything went wrong here at Christian Leaders Institute. I mean, everything. I mean, even a ladder fell on the seat. Okay? But I mean, it was really bad. And there was a problem with the taping that we could not figure out. And it was like after Mitch left, this is 3 o'clock, he was working all day. We just, after a quick dinner, we just kept fighting the fight. And finally around 9:15, he figured some fix, and we still don't know why it works, but it works. But, you know, then that night after we're all, well, then we actually did a few tapings.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we were sort of winding down, and then we were sharing YouTube videos with each other. That meant a lot to us spiritually.
Yeah. Different peoples with songs.
And yes, different songs and why they made a difference. It was just, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. It's an encouraging time. Number four, in what ways have you stepped out in faith since we last met, given your testimony or sensed God's activity?
That's a powerful question. We better keep going or else we're going to make this one too long. Here.
Okay. Number five, what has been your greatest disappointment since we last met?
Yeah.
And how have you handled it? Maybe it's something in your personal life. Maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe it's something at work. But do people have these kinds of things happen in a week?
Oh, they do. And I think, too, sometimes when you first start these types of groups, people are more safe. Like, you know, they'll say things like, you know, I'm finding that my quiet time is not what I want it to be.
Yeah. Okay. A broad general.
Yeah, big thing.
Yeah.
And then it'll come, you know, then after they get to know you a little bit, they go like, you know, I only read the Bible once last week. Okay, now they're telling you more.
Right.
But then they'll even get into, you know, I right now am bitter toward God.
Yeah, I don't want to hear what
I don't want to hear it. Right.
Or I'm afraid to hear what
he says. All of these things start coming.
Right.
It's just really powerful.
Right.
To get that group. Now, we always like to say the downside, be careful. You can get such a closed group that you are a closed group. You never, you know, so while these accountability questions are there, always be mindful of the fact, you know, it's like sometimes we've had this thing, golf, where we play with buddies who tell every story about every golf course they ever played before we ever were members of the club or members of the kind of golf group.
Right.
Okay, so then it's like, oh, you know, everybody likes that story because they have this shared experience. So, and that is probably, and just sort of introducing this now in the middle randomly, but as you do accountability, always be aware that not everybody will have the same level of trust.
Right. And we'll talk more about how you handle. Some people want to dominate at this kind of thing. They want to turn your group into their personal counseling session.
And we're going to get to that.
So we'll talk about how to manage that.
So let's keep going.
All right. Number six. Is there any hatred, bitterness, spite, resentment, or unforgiveness in your heart toward another person? Have you gossiped about any person or situation?
No, never. Not me, no way. I mean, maybe you, but not me.
Sometimes when we catch each other gossiping about something, we'll always, one of us will say, that's not going to play well on the big screen.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Things like that.
Number seven, how have you managed your tongue?
Right.
Have you been sharp, unkind, or said things you should not have said to anyone? Have you used language that is inappropriate, swearing, laughing at inappropriate jokes? Have you compromised your integrity in any way by your speech?
Okay. Keep going.
Number eight. Okay, we better come back to that. No, I'm
just
kidding. Okay, how have you served others since we last met? What were your motives and attitudes when serving? So yesterday, a bunch of us pickleball people, there's a guy who got ALS like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's in a wheelchair, and we all went over there, and we honked our horns, and we had little gifts and what have you. So that's what we did.
That's cool.
Yeah. Number nine, have you procrastinated on important things in your daily life and spiritual walk that you that should not be put off?
Right.
Number 10. Okay, get rid of our picture here.
Yeah.
How are you spending too much time at work or in other activities at expense of your family, others, and your spiritual life? Have you been spending good quantity and quality time with your spouse, children, mother, or father? What have you done since we last met to enhance your relationships? Are you praying together?
Right.
So you see, all these questions are just general.
Right.
How's it going with your family? How's it going with your marriage? How's it going? And these are the things that people don't ask.
Right.
Okay. Number 12, are you giving to the Lord's work financially? Have you missed misuse your finances by buying things you don't need at the expense of your tithe or other responsibilities. Number 13, have you accessed internet sites, watched movies or television which are inappropriate, that would have grieved the Holy Spirit, had a negative impact on someone else, detracted from your testimony, or hindered your spiritual walk? This is probably a big one.
Right. Bigger than probably we all would imagine it to be.
Yeah. And so here's the problem. Sometimes questions are so personal, you know, some people may sort of answer it, but there's a hint of an answer.
Right.
And then as a leader, you might want to pursue it, but maybe you don't, because this is in a group of 10.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's getting way more personal for the group of 10, and maybe the group of 2 would be better.
Yeah.
So that's where a little bit of discernment, as you as a
yeah.
leader, you might say, hey, Bob, thanks for sharing. And then afterwards, you say, hey, Bob, let's go out to dinner and have a little coffee someplace, and we'll talk about these things. Because not everything is maybe for the whole group.
Well, and I think sometimes there's even the gender group. If you've got a group of men, and you guys know each other, a question that should be regularly asked, is anybody visiting any porn sites?
Right.
Is anybody visiting? I mean, because there are gender sins that are more appropriate.
Right.
And to get to that place where there's clarity about that and trust. And, you know, the fact is that when in our world where it's very private internet, you're alone, and whether it's men or whether it's women, the devil is there doing what the devil does to try to get you isolated like this lone wildebeest getting attacked by the roaring lion.
Right.
But if you can be together on this,
you
know, it helps. Will you be totally perfect on everything? Probably not. But to be in a group and to keep these questions is huge.
Right.
Huge.
So some of these questions are really designed for a real accountability group,
right,
which might be only like 3 people.
And that's related to this one, too.
Right. So have you committed any sexual sin? Have you had improper thoughts about the opposite sex? Has your thought life been pure? Are you wrestling with any sexual sin and temptation? Have you put yourself in an awkward situation with the opposite sex?
Right, and you know, and some of these things too also are changing. You know, we have different manifestations of sexual sins coming today, you know, same-sex understandings and everything, where, you know, we have a very much fragmented world. We have a mini class on what does the Bible teach about sex. God's designed for sex.
Right.
And I just got done editing it, and it's going to be, by you watching this, I'm about
right.
But I mean, it does really bring a lot of those questions.
Right.
God's design and the questions have kind of been along those lines are very important.
Now you can see some of these questions are extremely personal.
Yes.
And these might not be the ones that you would throw into a group of 10. You know, if you're meeting with a mixed group, husbands and wives and so on, these might be a little too, I mean, what husband's going to say, yeah, I'm struggling with porn right now, and he's not even said that to his wife, and they're sitting there in this group. So if you have an accountability group of like 1 or 2 of same sex that decide, hey, well, I need to be, then it's totally appropriate.
Right.
There's a lot of trust that's been built up among the 3, and then someone might be willing to do this. So you can see some of these questions might apply to a group of 10.
Right.
But others probably it's a group of 2 or 3. Or even personally.
Right. And I think too, I mean, I think we pick on the sexual thing because the way everything is so set up really leads to a lot of problems. People are not getting married when they're young anymore, whereas now people are getting married older. I think the internet, so forth. But there's also these accountability questions can be put in all the 7 deadly sins.
Yeah.
You know, have you been committing any gluttony sins lately?
Right. How are you doing on that diet?
Is your lust for food growing, or and you can do the same thing about money. Have you been, you know, like in certain traditions, you can like be greedy and it can look like thrift.
Yeah. Right.
So all of these topics of the machinations of the human heart can be put into, like in the Bible study in Florida, there's a lot of businessmen there. So they have to be reminded about, you know, greedy motives.
Right. Okay, number 15. Have you used or abused any substance as an escape instead of casting all your cares upon
it? Yeah.
Cigarettes, food, alcohol, drugs, excessive caffeine, you know, some of the things you already mentioned there.
Yeah.
16. Are you taking time to exercise your body? Are your eating habits healthy? Are you taking time for rest and relaxation? Is there excessive stress in your life? And how are you handling it?
Right.
17. Is there anything you are hiding or something else you need to be accountable for which I did not ask you? So this
right.
is letting people write their own accountability question.
Right.
18. Overall, does the external you and the internal you match? Are you leading with your life? In other words,
are you bifurcated?
Are you projecting one thing, but
right.
is that a reality, or are you hiding things in your life?
Well, and I think that that's really a good point. I would rather be the transparent person who I am is who I am before you and God than to be phony baloney.
Right.
You know, in fact, that's one thing probably nice about having 30 plus years of accountability
right.
with you.
Right.
Is I don't think there's very much that we
don't you can't baloney me.
Yeah, I can't baloney you. You can't baloney me.
Right.
Well, and I think that's really insane with our wives. And,
right.
And you know, like I would rather know my wife's struggles than hers mine.
Right.
Even the sordid worst of them.
Right.
Than to live life alone in some hiding place where. You're projecting one thing, and there's an aspect of your life that is hidden apart from.
Right.
You know, I think in the end of the day, you know, we all have a journey, but I want to walk with somebody in that journey rather than try to figure it out
right.
alone.
Right. Good point. All right, number 19.
There's 19 here. We're still going.
There's
20.
What is your number one need in the coming week, and how can I pray for you?
Yeah, that's like bringing us back. That we're now landing the plane again. We go flying loop to loop.
Right, right, right. Have you spent time with or talked with anybody that could have been misinterpreted as something unholy? Have you endeavored to avoid the appearance of evil?
Wow, all of these things are.
So these, and you can actually write your own. These are just,
right.
in a way, starter questions. And of course, you wouldn't ask all these questions. It'd,
right.
be, it'd be a 5-hour meeting. So you pick and choose what you're going to answer. And sometimes you can let people in the group decide on what they're working on.
Right.
Like, you know, what do you want to be held accountable for? Well, I'm trying
right.
to lose weight. I'm trying to, I have a habit of swearing, and I just want to get rid of it. I was raised with it, and
yeah,
this is
yeah.
what I do. I don't want to do it, but I'm stuck doing it, and so this is what I want to work on. Or someone's struggling to actually read the Bible every day, or whatever it might be.
Right.
And then as a leader, you'd write these things down and then make sure that you hold them accountable. And holding accountable is not just challenging.
Right.
You know, did you do this or did you not do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's celebrating. Yeah, I did, you know, this week I
right.
did it 3 times. Great job. That's 3
right.
more times than you did the last week. I know your
right.
goal was 7, but you did 3, and the week before you did 0.
Right.
So good job. You're on the right track. So that
I think that part of grace is really important,
yeah.
encouragement, because, you know, we have little phrases. It's all worse than we originally thought.
Right.
It's a phrase that has 30 years.
Right.
We have other things we think about, but grace is like the devil gets in there when
yes.
when someone gets so beaten down
yep.
and they just say, whatever, yep. I don't care.
Exactly.
The other thing I noticed about these questions is this theological concept of what do you save from and where is Jesus Lord in your life and where does he need to be Lord of your life more?
Yep. Yep.
So in a sense, we have the right. powerful theological, like, and we reflect on some passages from, like, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul transparently said that he has a thorn in his flesh,
right.
a messenger of Satan.
Right.
And then he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Right.
But it's that transparency
mm-hmm.
that we're the power and the weakness. We don't have, we have not arrived.
No.
That we do hunger for heaven. We hunger for the lordship of Christ, not to make us feel guilty about something, but to make us whole.
Right.
And it's we have no shame in this new Garden of Eden of redemption,
right.
where we can come out of the bushes
right.
and not feel naked,
right.
even though some of the acts that we do that reflects the old clothes, we want to take them off and get to where Christ in us is the hope of glory.
So if you, you absolutely need a sense of grace in the group, or no one's going to admit anything.
Right.
Right. You're not going to be able to hold anyone accountable for anything.
Right.
Because it's not a safe place for them to be.
One more thing, as you're in the training here, one of the things we really like about the licensed clergy is the confidentiality that you have, that you're expected to, but it's a good standard. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these questions are really sort of one-on-one questions. You, right. Like Steve mentioned, you can hear, ooh, there's a one-on-one moment here.
Yeah.
And there's where, like I've done that, like, you know, as a minister, I have confidentiality in here, and you just say that. And then you go, I heard you mention sort of a struggle.
Right.
Did you want to go further with that? Know that it's just between God, you, and I, and we have this confidentiality thing as a minister.
And even in a group of 10, that should be one of the rules.
Oh, yeah.
What we say in this group stays in this group unless someone wants others to know.
Right, so let's call it level of confidentiality, group level.
Yes.
But there is a higher standard on you as a minister.
Right.
In fact, you can get in many places, in the United States is one of them, you are not expected to testify against somebody in court. If a parishioner came to you and said that they're coming to you in confidentiality to confess a sin or everything, you cannot be put on trial to incriminate the person. But I think that's a awesome responsibility, and we have that at the Christian Leaders Alliance in the ordination process. This isn't some ordination you get in the mail or whatever.
Right,
it's a process, and then you are expected to be held to that standard.
Right. All right.
Very good. Till next time.